Hello. Sorry about my beard. I've got coronavirus mask beard. That's kind of like bedhead or something like that, but I'll fix that up. It was so great to see everybody today when we went and stood in front of my mother's house and sang to her for her birthday and gave her some gifts. 89 years. She loved it. And so thank you if you showed up, and bless you if you couldn't. But so glad we're all gathered to here together in spirit this morning. And I have a message for you. As I said in service while we were still, having services in the building, the immediately following Easter, 50 days from Resurrection Sunday, is Pentecost Sunday. And that's the day we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we have some things planned for that coming up. But in the meantime, I wanted to take the weeks previous to that to teach and preach regarding the Holy Spirit, that it's not something additional, it's something essential to our faith. The Bible teaches us so. So the title of this is Endued with Power from on High. Luke 24:49 says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Father, we just thank you for this time to gather. Even though we're not together physically, we are united spiritually. And we just thank you for this opportunity. We pray that this will be over again very soon. This be over with, and we can actually physically see each other and give those hugs and encourage one another and all those good things. But until then, Lord, we just bless you and ask you to be present with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. So this is Jesus' last instruction to his disciples. He says, go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he said when he went away, he was going to send another, the Holy Spirit, that would be like him, another member of the Godhead. So we've determined that just like the direct disciples of Jesus, that we don't want to move into any major ministry or embark in any direction before we are endued with power from on high. This promise of the Father is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And to review, many times in the past we've established by the clear teaching of scriptures that the baptism in the Spirit is a secondary experience that a believer is highly encouraged to seek and receive after salvation. And the gist of the teaching is this: when we are born again, and Jesus commands that we be born again, the Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus and baptizes us into the body of Christ, which is the church, also called his mystical body, the mystical body of Christ. Under this circumstance, the Spirit is the agent, and the body of Jesus Christ is the element into which we are baptized, also called or referred to as being born again. In regard to baptism in the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the baptizer, as John the Baptist informed us through the scriptures, and the element we are baptized into and overflowed with is the Holy Spirit, so much so that Jesus referred to it as rivers of living water can pour out of us. This is called the baptism in the Spirit. These are two separate experiences, as demonstrated by the transposition of the two different agents, the Holy Spirit and Jesus. As believers, it is essential, if we are to be used in ministry and be made in the image of Christ, that we be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Teaching on this subject is meant to satisfy your intellect, but only the experience itself will satisfy your soul. So we explained that only through human availability can the baptism of the Spirit take place. You must cooperate with Jesus' desire to impart to you the promised gift from the Father and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Thereafter, you must cooperate and be available and expectant to be used in the gift or gifts that the Spirit of God may choose to work through you. You have to seek it, you have to want it, and desire it, for God our Father surely wants to give it. We also establish that God looks upon us as a whole, as His body, the church. That outward praise and worship can surely be accomplished by individuals at any time and in any place, but that God requires our worship and praise to also, and more importantly, take place in the assembly as part of the body. And to this end, He has called us. He's more concerned with your place and development in, with, and for His body, the church, than He is with your personal spiritual development. He doesn't want lone rangers. A spirit of selfish individualism is not welcomed or encouraged in the Scriptures or by God. An athlete trains hard for his personal development, but the purpose of bringing all of those skills and training to the team for their ultimate success is the goal. And so it is with us. God is a good coach. One of the things I just want to mention in passing is so many times we want to have an experiential faith. And so many people seek that outside of Christianity because they've been religious about their faith. They've gone to church and they've gone through the rituals and they've done all the things that go along with that, but they haven't actually experienced God. And the most powerful thing that ever happened in my life was when God came into my life and the Holy Spirit came into my life and He changed everything. It was such an incredible experience. I can't describe it. And I've had some incredible experiences in my life, believe me, spiritual ones. But this was unbelievable, like nothing else. And so there's no surprise that people seek all kinds of spiritual experiences. And the Bible says they're not all good. There's evil spiritual experiences, and many of them are deceiving, so they seem beautiful. But the Holy Spirit, as directed by the Word of God and spoken about by Jesus Himself, this is what we seek after. And it makes all the difference. It makes everything worthwhile. Luke 11:13 tells us, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? This week we'll be seeking for the true blessing of the Father and not the foolishness that has been pawned off on the unsuspecting. Hopefully, we are settled in our minds and determined in our spirits to seek the true blessing that comes with scriptural approval and holy power and witnesses the things that the Word of God tells us we should expect when this happens. So are you with me? Let's go. Our text this morning is Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. There are three main words used in the text, and it may be instructed to define them from the original Greek. Endued is the Greek word enduo. It means to sink into, like clothing or put on, clothe oneself with is the root. To be plunged into is another part of that. In power is the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get dynamo from. It's strength, power, ability, the inherent power, power residing in a thing. So you get the idea. It's about power. And on high, hupsos, a place specifically referring to heaven. So we're endued, we're given power and strength and ability from heaven. This is really what we're talking about. And why do I prepare myself to receive this? Well, I believe praise and worship are a proper medium for the endowment of this power. If Jesus is the baptizer, then concentrating on Him will certainly help. When I think about Jesus and all he has done for me, it automatically coaxes praise and love out of me from within my heart and spirit. We are living sacrifices, the Bible says. The sacrifices of the Old Testament had to die a bloody death. But we are living sacrifices, and the only thing that has to surrender and die is our will. What is the best evidence that we have died to ourselves? I think it is humbling ourselves to the point where we can openly love and praise God. That's setting aside our insecurities and our thinking that everybody's going to watch me and I'm going to look foolish or whatever. All of that gets set aside because our love of Jesus is so overwhelming and we want to express it to him. And Scripture backs me up on this. These aren't my ideas. Proverbs 18:20 says from the Old Testament, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. To God continually, as the creator and preserver of us in our beings, as the Father of mercies, as the Father of Christ, and as our covenant God and Father in him, since he is always bestowing mercies on us of one kind or another, and therefore should be continually praised even in times of adversity or affliction and temptation like we're going through now. In the midst of reproach and persecution, even when unsettled in mind or body, since there is a continuing city to come, nor can a believer be in any state of life, but he has something to be thankful for. Whether we're desiring the baptism in the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, which the Spirit baptism must precede, the baptism in the Spirit is the gate through which we enter the realm of spiritual giftings and the environment in which the gifts are exercised in the assembly of the saints, otherwise referred to as a worship service. Why do we call it that? Because we go to the church building so that the church, that's you and me, can raise our voice and give God our love and our worship. And he responds in a way that we experience that. And that's the wonderful experiential part of being a biblical Christian. When we worship, our mouths are moving and we are concentrating on God. Pagan and profane worship encourages an emptying into nothingness. But this altered state of consciousness the worshiper is influenced by, whatever spirit is available, not good spirits either. When we worship in Christ's way, our attention is focused on God. We're not opening ourselves up to nothing. We are opening ourselves up to the love of God and Jesus our Father. Who will then respond? God inhabits, the Bible says, the praises of his people. And he says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, and now, dear brothers and sisters, I'll write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, for I must correct your misunderstanding about them. Verse 12:4. Now, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does the work through all of us. Verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us as a means of helping us to helping the entire church. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another. And to someone else, he gives the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it's really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. And still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, and another is given the ability to interpret what's being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up only the one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit, and we have all received the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if an ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary, and the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen, while other parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that put the body that have less dignity. And this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other equally. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. And now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. And here is a list of some of the members that God has placed in the body of Christ. First are apostles. Second are prophets. Third are teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help others. Those who can get others to work together. Those who speak in unknown languages. Is everyone an apostle? Of course not. Is everyone a prophet? No. Are all teachers? Does everyone have the power to do miracles? Does everyone have a gift of healing? Of course not. Does God give all of us the ability to speak in unknown languages? Can everyone interpret unknown languages? No. And in any event, you should desire the most helpful gifts. First, however, let me tell you about something else that's better than any of them. Paul goes through the whole 13th chapter to explain that none of this counts for anything if it's not accompanied by love. The kind of love that we don't have, but that comes to us through the filling of the Holy Spirit and comes to us through Jesus. After Spirit baptism, we should expect, if we continue to seek to receive the spiritual gift or gifts that God has for us to benefit the church, we should expect these things because the gift and the calling of God, the Word says, are without repentance. Romans 11:29, for God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn. If we don't continue to seek and be refilled because we're leaky people, we can fall into a situation where we may exercise gifts and duties and callings without love. When they're done without love or in a sense of duty, they mean and count, the Word says, for nothing. Love must be the motivation of our hearts and our service. Love to God and love for His church as a whole and as individuals. And if you don't possess it, there's only one place to get it, from God and through the infilling of His Spirit. Look, all of us live in such small circles in our life, and we care about those people. And a lot of times when we're asked to have compassion or care about people that we don't even know, and even with Jesus, He says, even our enemies, that we have to bless them. And the only way we have power or ability to do that, the only way many times we can forgive people that we just can't find a way to forgive, is when the love of God comes to us. It's so powerful, so overwhelming, and it makes us strong and bold and gives us a desire to forgive and gives us a compassion for lost people that don't know this same wonderful thing that we've discovered. And it motivates us and gives us love for people that we don't even know, people maybe we have never even met. Paul sums up with this passage at the end of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14:26. Well, my brothers and sisters, let me summarize what I'm saying. When you meet, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in an unknown language while another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must be useful to all and build them up in the Lord. And these are spontaneous gifts of the Holy Spirit. We don't come to church and decide, well, I'm going to prophesy today. No, we maybe go in expecting that God may use us that way. But what really happens is all of a sudden you realize you feel the power, you feel the anointing of God coming on you, and suddenly you realize God wants me to speak this morning. However that works, but they are the spontaneous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 28:2 says, "Listen to my prayer for mercy as I cry out to you for help, as I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary." 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "So wherever you assemble, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy." It is easily established in the Old Testament that God's presence was manifested during the gathering of the people to worship and praise Him. And it's easily established through the book of Revelation that one of the main things we will do as a group is praise and worship God with great joy and pleasure. What is the church to do in between the Old Testament and our gathering together in heaven? Praise and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Be filled with His Spirit and serve Him here, in South Onondaga, in New York State, in the uttermost parts of the earth, to modernize an old saying of Jesus. It must start with cooperation in our hearts and the baptism of the Spirit. The Word tells us that we're supposed to seek it. The Apostle Paul told us that is the gift from God, the gift from heaven, that is for everyone that comes to Jesus. I don't want to say it's our right, but it certainly is our privilege. And I want to invite you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, I would ask you to pray with me and receive Jesus. And if your desire is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you see, you receive a measure of the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus as your Savior, when you're born again, as the Bible teaches. As Jesus said, you must be born again or you won't enter the kingdom of heaven and you won't understand the kingdom of heaven. You wonder why you read the Bible or you hear about spiritual things and you don't understand them. You don't have what you need. God wants to give it to you. So pray with me. Pray with me to be saved, to be born again, to come into the family of God, and pray with me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray right now. Father, we just ask you as we embark on this adventure to be refilled, to be anointed, to understand you better between now and the day of Pentecost that we'll worship 50 days from Easter, from Resurrection Sunday. If there are those, Lord, that are hearing me speak right now that don't know you in that way, maybe they're religious and they've gone to church their whole life, but they never asked Jesus to come in and be their Lord and Savior, to enter into their heart, to have the agency of the Holy Spirit baptize them into the body of Christ and be born again, as Jesus said. I pray right now for them. In fact, I ask them to pray with me, and I'll take my time as we go through this. Just say with me, Father, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I believe Jesus came and died for my sin in my place. I ask you to save me, to fill me with your Spirit, to make me born again, to make me a child of God. Receive me now, I pray, in Jesus' name. And Lord, there's those of us that want to be refilled or filled for the first time, baptized in your Holy Spirit. I pray for them as well. Father, I pray that you'll come to us, that your Holy Spirit will come, that the anointing of the Spirit will come, that wisdom will come, and all the things that come with the gifting, with the infilling of your Holy Spirit. We pray for that gentle, gentle touch, the still small voice. We pray for that dunamis, that we be endowed with power from on high, as you directed all of your disciples, not just the ones from back in the day that saw you with their own eyes. We will someday see you too, and the Apostle Paul told us, this gift is for everyone, whomever the Lord shall call. And so we hunger and thirst for it, Lord. We desire it. Come to us now, we ask, Lord. Fill us. Fill us to overflowing with your love, your loving Holy Spirit. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer with me. If you have any questions or concerns, anything you'd like to know or whatever, you can reach me at Nedro Strong. I'm pretty sure you probably know how to spell that. NedroStrong@gmail.com. I'd love to answer your questions or any of your concerns. We just thank you for listening. And when all this is over with, I won't be doing this on here anymore, but you are more than welcome to join us at 3126 Cedarvale Road in the lovely village of South Onondaga and meet your spiritual family, your family in Christ. We invite you. Truth Bible Fellowship, Sundays at 10:30. God bless you all. I hope to see you face to face real soon. Bye-bye.